Welcome to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. This is our first podcast after our winter break, and for this show we welcome Scott McClymon from Kilmarnock FC. We started these podcasts to help clubs at all levels within Scottish football. The aim of providing as much practical advice as possible. The topic for this podcast was creating in-house content. Scott took us through his role at Kilmarnock and the balancing act he has every day when it comes to comms, content and everything else that goes with the job. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter, and all the show links are available on the Scottish FA website. The podcast is located in the club development section. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to show 11 of the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. It's the first one of 2019 as well. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a bit of an extended winter break, and we're all a bit, well, I'm not that refreshed. I've been working, but yeah, I think we're ready to get back into it for 2019, and we've got a guest with us today as well. It's Scott McClymon from Kilmarnock Football Club.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about in-house media today, Michael.
A good one to start the new year with. I think it's one that we've touched on in different podcasts already. I know George Francis spoke about it a little bit. We had Michael Park from the Lowland League in BSC Glasgow speak about it a little bit, but creating in-house content is can be a challenge, no matter what size you are, that you're always having to keep it fresh, being able to cater to what fans are after, and that changes as well as different platforms come and go and different things that come of interest. And but probably biggest challenge is once you go down the leagues, but even in the Premiership as well, is the time, the resource, budget is always the sort of things and barriers that might get in the way to creating, one, what you want to be creating, second of all is just actually the quality that you're looking to do. So hopefully by speaking to Scott today, we'll find out what is possible, what's been, what can be done, what's happening at Kilmarnock, and then hopefully there's some practical advice for clubs, as usual, at all levels that can take something away.
Scott, take us through a bit of an introduction to you, your role at Killy, and then a bit of your background as well.
Yeah, so as I guess say it, my name is Scott McClymon. I'm the head of communications at Kilmarnock Football Club. I came into this job after a good decade in journalism. I studied journalism at Stirling University. Was lucky enough to get a job in the area at a paper called the Wee County News in Alloa, which was a rival to the Alloa Advertiser. So I started out just a kind of basis in journalism, doing all the kind of things that make local journalism tick, court, council and vox pops and everything else in between. And after about 6 months I got into sport, which is always what I wanted to do. So after covering Alloa Athletic and Stirling Albion and all the various little sports clubs and community elements, I then moved to STV in the summer of 2011 on a freelance basis because the paper no longer existed, and went from kind of covering local sport and a little bit of Andy Murray through a free sheet in Dublin to national sport and all the fun and games that entails. So I was part of STV's digital team for 6.5 years. It was a fantastic time working with some amazingly talented people. I learned a hell of a lot, just about not only digital element, but television and just broadcasting in general. And then Kilmarnock Football Club, I decided, you know, I quite fancied moving into the world of, the cushy world of comms, as they try and tell you it is, but it's not. And I moved there in September 2017. And since then, yeah, I've been doing my current role, and it's been all wonderful at Rugby Park.
Definitely has. I think you joining obviously coincided with the run of form, I think.
Not going to lie, my first away game, we couldn't pick up points for love nor money, and we drew at Pittodrie in my first game, and then went on like a 8-game unbeaten away run. So that was before Steve Clark. So, you know, I'll let you decide where the credit should be going.
Looking after the comms side, but that role encompasses quite a lot at Kilmarnock, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's if it was just football matches and dealing with that stuff, that would be fine. But no, it does take up a lot more than that. As you say, I'm in charge of all the club's social media output, the website, but I'm also in charge of all the other associated parts of the business, so that means that I need to promote the community elements of the club, the associated businesses that we have, such as the gymnasium at the stadium, the sports bar that we have attached to us as well, the Kelly ladies team, a kind of branch of the community arm, but we want to try and promote that, and we're making changes to try and make that more of a focus for us this year, and then just make sure everyone else is kind of happy. So there's a lot to it, and you're certainly never sitting twiddling your thumbs, put it that way.
Are you a one-man band at Kilmarnock, or you got any support there?
I do have support, yeah. I'm a one-man band in terms of the comms element, but I have a very, very supportive video analyst, Chris Kyle, who is a fantastic help with video stuff and plenty of other things when to lend a hand. And since the summer, we've appointed a head of marketing and brand, who's Greg McCune, who previously worked at QTS, and he was at Progress before that, and he'd worked with some clubs down south like Aston Villa, Southampton, Derby County and things. So since the summer, Greg tends to take care of some of the business elements and will leave me to the football stuff, and then vice versa, we'll kind of help each other in that way. So it's a little bit easier this season in terms of support, but those two have been fantastic helps.
I imagine that's quite a big benefit for you as well, to have those people kind of bouncing off ideas and things like that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I tend to work best when there's an element of teamwork. I can and do quite like working alone, but there's something nice about having other people to bounce ideas off and just get a fresh pair of eyes on things. And certainly because of my journalism background, marketing is not where my natural kind of niche or platform was, so to have the support of Greg there, especially this year, it frees me up to do the additional things that I've had to do this year that I didn't last season. So no, it's been a fantastic help, and even the thought of having to do that all on my own would break me out in a cold sweat.
So we've touched on kind of quite the year it's been already, and quite the time you've had since you've been at the club. Obviously Steve Clark coming on board as well, like you've mentioned, with the even more upturn of forms since you joined. What did you first set out to do when you first joined the club?
I think because Kilmarnock didn't really traditionally have a comms person, they kind of had people who helped and kind of dipped their toe in the water, but they never really had someone dedicated in the role. So the first thing I set out to do, because I ended up getting the job because I came back from a holiday, I decided I wanted to leave STV, and I thought, you know, what do I want to do next? And I saw an opportunity at the club that I think they kind of needed help. And I think it's maybe slightly easy now that people look at most Premiership clubs now, and there is now a kind of standard for what these clubs are doing and should be doing, but we essentially didn't engage with the community for the best part of 10 years. So the first thing that I set out to do was, as a fan myself, was that I want the club to talk to me and people like me and mean it and do it properly. So engaging with people again, trying to make the team just something that people enjoyed again, was something that was quite big at the start. And then just making content and providing information, yeah, and just being more open to people, because that was another problem. By not engaging with people, there was a perception of the club as quite boring, as quite a kind of standoff situation with the people that care about it most, and that just should never be the case. So I think before I started thinking of content ideas, although I had all those in my head, I think the primary objectives were just to, let's stop making this such a miserable place to be in, it's such a miserable experience for people, and make Kilmarnock Football Club something that people treasured again.
Yeah, before we get on to the day-to-day content, because obviously there was a lot of work to be done there, and as you said, the day-to-day content was, and in-house content was part of that. Obviously, it's been a big year for Kilmarnock, 150 years. Can you take us through what you've been doing to celebrate that?
Yeah, so when I kind of first joined, the plans were just starting to kind of ramp up a little bit. So what we've done so far is that we had a dinner at the Park Hotel, which celebrated the 150th anniversary. And I must say this properly, because the club historian will kill me if I don't. It's not the 100, the 5th of January is not technically the 150th anniversary of the club being founded. There is debate that it was founded in 1868, but there's no documents which say what day it was. So the first date that we really have is the 5th of January, 1869. So we had a dinner on the 5th of January, which luckily happened to fall on a Saturday, the first one of the winter break. And so we had a dinner with former directors, chairman. It was in association with the Supporters Association at the hotel, and we had people like Kenny Shields, our cup winning manager from 2012. We had Gary Holt, who played in our 97 team, Ray Montgomery, Paul Wright, some of our 1965 league winners, and fans, basically, because it was an event to try and incorporate all the different fans groups in Ayrshire, primarily, that support us and run buses and travel to all corners of the country watching the team. So that's the first event. And then what we're planning to do is roll out a number of other events throughout the year, to including like anniversary match and other such things that are going to tell the story in an events way. But throughout the year, we want to try and get out into the community and tell all the different, maybe smaller stories from the club that maybe have just fallen into history books and need dusting off a little bit and modernised and told to young kids and maybe older people I may have forgotten about.
Yeah, sound good. I mean, how do you go about planning this sort of thing, especially from a content point of view internally?
So the first thing that we did was to try and get as many people from a range of backgrounds involved in what they thought people would like to see and engage with people. So that group was made up of the club historian, the guy that had edited the programme for 21 years before I did it, people at the club, fans groups, and there are links to the directors and chief executive levels. So the first thing is we can have a round table discussion, and we create little subcommittees to do different bits that plays into people's strengths, and then we just continually have a kind of open forum about what we think we should be doing. And then in terms of the content, and my part of it is that I had a little subcommittee of myself, Chris and Greg that I mentioned before, and our stadium announcer Gavin Wallace, who's got a really strong kind of media background but is also a huge fan as well, and he has really good ideas, and we just kind of came up with little different things and fed them back into the wider, larger group, who maybe say, you know, I think that's a good idea, but maybe could tweak it to this. So it was just through that kind of communication we get and kind of really narrowed down the brief, and then we kind of go away in our little subcommittee again and make things happen.
There was a video to accompany the 150th anniversary too. Tell us how that kind of came about.
So I wanted to make people cry. That was sorry. I wanted to make people feel. That's probably a more accurate way of. I wanted the anniversary to be something that people passionately cared about, because we are the first professional club in Scotland to have passed that landmark. Queen's Park obviously had their 150th just before us, but I just wanted the football club means so much to these people anyway. So I wanted to make something that kind of summed up how people, a range of people, might feel about the club. So when I saw the rise of football club documentaries at the tail end of last year, I was like, okay, right, I want something that, firstly, I'd had something to try and push our half-season tickets, and I was like, you know, let's tug in the heartstrings with that one. And then for the 150th one in January there, I said, right, I want to make something that's not a million miles away from it, but that has a kind of different feel and is slightly more general. So we got someone to come along to one of our games in September to do some crowd shots, and I would have actually, in hindsight, I would have loved to maybe do a little bit more of that, but just budget and time didn't really allow for that. So we got 2 days, I think, set aside for filming contributors in front of various locations, and then just looked for music and put it all together over maybe 6 or 7 editing stages, messing about with different fonts and different storytelling ways of how text heavy it was going to be, and eventually came to the finished product maybe about a week before Christmas, and then from there on in it was good to go.
When it comes to regular day-to-day content, in-house content, what are your objectives? Have you set out, obviously, with the anniversary video to make people feel? What do you have objectives when you're creating in-house content generally?
I think there are obviously, I mean, because I'm kind of in charge of that, I'm not hugely numbers based in terms of target. That's something I will kind of try and introduce, I think, because ultimately I want to see a kind of steady growth. But I think going back to what I did when I first joined, it was mainly to see what we could do with what we had and what people would like, and then try and make more of that while not losing the experimentation elements. So the objectives are just to try and engage people as much as we can, and inspire people who have either fallen out of love with the club, who are mad into the club and already engage with us on a daily basis or weekly basis anyway. And then also, one of the things I tend to do with content is I show it to non-football fans, because if they're coming into it completely clean, they're probably the best kind of pair of fresh eyes I can get a lot of the times. If I'm trying to make something like, I'll think of an example, for example, the Battle of the Bards thing that we did this time last year. We did that mainly because it connected to Ayrshire and it connected to us, and it was to try and integrate some of the people who had just come to the club, because we did use a couple of the Scottish guys, but we tried to use a lot of the foreign guys and bridge those two things together. And the objective for that was mainly to be as broad as possible, and it was meant to appeal to non-football fans, so, and to try and be slightly educational as well. The objectives for that were just to see how far we could push that general part where it wasn't people who were absolutely set on the club, and see how far we could go with that. And the fact that was well received, it's led us to try a few more of those things.
Obviously, we've touched on the kind of resource you've got at the club. How do you go about that? Take us through kind of the process of creating the content with that resource that you've got. Is it just you if you want to put a tweet out and you've got final sign off?
Yeah, pretty much. On those kind of elements, if it's a kind of video or slightly larger project, then there'll be various people at different levels that we'll have to consult. So if there's something that I've been assigned to do, obviously by higher above, I will make sure that they've seen it and are happy. So anything that the directors or the chief executive needs to see, the chief executive is my kind of boss, so she's the first point of contact. And Kirsten Robertson is someone that I'll go to on a daily basis to make sure that she's happy that with what we're doing, the objectives of the business have been met in all areas. But if it's certain things like tweets or Facebook posts and things, that's just purely down to me, and I try and use the kind of grounding that I had at STV mixed in with the audience that I'm now catering for and what I think they'll respond best to, and then it's purely been a kind of monitoring process. And now you start to see with certain bits of content that are more kind of repeated how we can do them better and what we should do. And then Greg, that I mentioned earlier, is also a kind of good resource from a marketing point of view, saying, actually, you know, you're going to pitch it like this, maybe do it but with this twist on it. So
do you guys work with any sort of content planners, like us? And I mean, for example, internally here, because we've got a number of different, so we've got marketing and the communications guys, as well as myself and the social media, and what we work with, a Google Sheet, so it's an editable centralised document. Very, if anybody was to look at it, it's very colourful, because each colour means a different department, yes. Whether it's football development or performance or national team. You got something similar?
Yeah, so we use Google Sheets as well. So yeah, we also have different colours. So like for example, blues when something's finished. And then yeah, we have different colours for indicating whether a project's in planning or whether a project's part of the way through or what still needs to be done to a certain element. So yeah, we can communicate through that. We can use Trello as well for different for slightly bigger projects. So for example, we're going to revamp our website, and that's one of the platforms we use for things like that. So it just allows people to dip in and communicate quite quickly and make sure we're all on the same page and we know where certain parts of the project are.
Yeah. Do you have things like content meetings or anything? Are they normally ad hoc, or do you try to put something in the diary every week?
No,
or?
Yeah. So on a Thursday, I would tend to sit down with the commercial team, which I'm kind of an outlying part of, but I allow, obviously, the people who are doing more aggressive selling parts, I try and catch up with them on a Thursday, when depending on when we have press. So I'll always try and catch up with them on a Thursday in terms of the media content. I'll always try and do that on a Monday to set out whether the objectives have changed depending on maybe something that would have happened the weekend previously, to make sure that we know from the Monday all the way through to the Sunday. And then we have other Google Sheets that have got them. I tend to work in kind of months on most things and then see what we've got coming up and make sure that we haven't missed anything, or if we need to be reactive to something that we actually need to change the plan a little bit, and we can move things about in different days.
And I'm assuming you guys will also have a spreadsheet with like players' birthdays and sorts of that sort.
So I've always wondered how that works.
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet of players' birthdays. I have a spreadsheet for program content, and I have a spreadsheet for media duties, and there's one more spreadsheet that I have. Oh, that is for community projects as well.
Have you got a spreadsheet for the spreadsheets?
No, but maybe I should.
Take us through like main types of content then. Obviously, we've touched a bit on video. It's growing all the time in terms of what clubs in Scotland are doing, and then obviously out with as well. Is that one of the main types you look to do, or and take us through a few others too?
Yeah, so the video content tends to be the more kind of heavy lifting stuff, just because that involves me having to make sure that I'm not taking Chris away from his video analysis, because that's his main job, and the manager and the coaching staff need that. For me, a lot of the written content, as I say, that's done by me. Yeah, that's kind of my bread and butter background. Then we'll do a range of different kind of things with the community team. I like to try and give them the freedom to do their own stuff. So they might want to do some GoPro things to engage the kids. So they'll always come back to me, but I want them to, because they want to be quite expressive and they want to try and learn that side of things. So I want to try and help them with that. So apart from the kind of written and video stuff is a lot of what we do. In terms of fan-generated content, we're trying to build on that a little bit. We had player-generated content over the summer. We did a thing called Player Cam when we went to La Manga. So the first person to do that was Chris Burke, and he had a fear of flying, so he was the first obvious choice, because there is obviously this idea that football are these kind of infallible heroes, and you wanted to just show that they're just normal people like anyone else and have their fears and things. So that was one thing that we wanted them to try and take control of, how they wanted to be seen in pre-season, because that was born out of people again felt that they didn't know what happens in these pre-season trips, that what do people do. So with that, we'd DT23 Dom Thomas take it I had to edit a lot of it. Doing that. There was a particular shot of one of the players on the toilet that was never ever going to make it through. What other kind of content? The fan generated content, we obviously take, we encourage them as much can to engage with us on social that we can then put stuff together for that. So those are the kind of main elements that we tend to do on a day to day basis, certainly.
From a written perspective, I'm guessing your standards are your match previews, reports. Is there any other types of written content that you've introduced that you've tried to you find that works well at Kilmarnock?
I've found, certainly in the early days, found scout reports did particularly well when we used to get fans of the opposition club to tell us, because I'm always a kind of believer in not only if you take that kind of content down to the kind of base level will you get natural engagement through kind of fan forums and other places other than the mainstream media, but I'm also quite a believer that no one knows their teams usually better than the fans. So what I tended to find was you didn't get the kind of any kind of, or you mitigated the negative engagement because these people knew what they were talking about and had a certain level of respect within those organic communities already. So I think of other kind of elements. We let certain fans in the match programme write a kind of what Kelly means to me part, which that feature works really well. I try not overkill that because I think there's a slight danger that you kind of play too much in that, but that's a kind of sporadic feature that then again naturally leads to opening up of a conversation about how other people feel and they bring their own stories to the table. So we found that's worked quite well. And then other kind of written content, it's a lot to do. It's just in terms of kind of time and things, it does tend to be a lot of my stuff, which can be a good or a bad thing, I suppose.
And from a video's perspective, sorry, I know you do your media conferences, you'll put on YouTube, obviously, yeah. Goals from the games. Is there any other sort of regular content from a video perspective you try to get out, or is it just as it comes, ad hoc sort of stuff?
It is slightly ad hoc as it comes. We've just wonderful timing that we've launched Kelly TV today. So there'll be slight changes in terms of the video content, and we want to offer more. So for those who pay for that service, the same way that Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee, etc. have this, maybe Ernie as well have this system, we'll try and offer a full news conference behind a paywall, but I still want to, because of those years of not engaging with people, I want to try and keep as much free content as I can, because I don't want it to feel like you must pay and creating tiers of fans. I don't think that really works. So we've got those kind of elements, and then we just try and do personality led fun content when we can. It's hard, especially at this time of year when we're just in December, where it's just game after game and you already have a number of supporters and community commitments, but without a doubt every year we will do the hospital visit. We will do this year. We did a little bit of singing for the Ayrshire Hospice. So we took on Slade's "Merry Christmas, Everybody." I was pushed to the front against my better will, but you don't argue with the manager when he does that, and that had burst out into a wonderful song. So we did that this year, and that went down really well from a video perspective. And because it was a charity single, we only put out a teaser because naturally we want people to buy the CD and raise as much money for charity. But we did put the whole thing out after Christmas was finished. So you can see Stephen O'Donnell's fantastic solo in all its glory.
I can imagine he's not a retiring type of Stephen.
Not at all.
What's kind of the main channels then and platforms that you try and get the content to the fans?
So like most organisations, we try and tailor the different content to the platforms that they're made for. So video-led content tends to go directly onto Facebook, more of the news and run-of-the-mill, maybe less sexy stuff, it goes on Twitter. But when I came in, our numbers in terms of followers, engagement, were far too low for a Scottish Premiership football club. So we've done quite a lot of work to boost those numbers on Twitter and Facebook. We've really kind of revamped how we were doing Instagram, because we just weren't seeing the kind of levels that we wanted to. And so we changed some of our photography contracts around, with part of the idea being that we would really do a lot better on Instagram, and I'm going to making some moves in that department to try and be better, because it's not something that I use. I don't use Instagram, so I was a bit of an outsider to this, and I'm always quite a believer in, if you don't know something, don't try and just like bluff your way through it. Like, try go and ask people who actually, so Chris, who I mentioned earlier, does use Instagram, and I took kind of his advice on that, and then said, okay, I'll try and get someone a bit younger and hipper to take control of that one.
Instagram's a crazy one. I mean, we found, obviously, when you're looking back on the year it was, and just doing some sort of analysis and having a look, Instagram's easily our most, if you're looking at purely interactions, it smashes everything else. And then it's something that, going into Euro 2020, UEFA are now driving as one of their main platforms, because that's where they're seeing the numbers. It's quite an interesting time.
It's crazy. I just looked at it and I was like, well, you know, sport's a visual medium. It lends itself naturally to this, but we're not quite getting there. So I said, we need to get more. So we've increased the photography content that we get this season, and in turn, we've seen that rise to a level now that I expected it to be before, but we hadn't done enough work to make that, to deserve that. So now I think we're getting more where we want to be, and we're starting to see people kind of engaging kind.
In terms of engagement then, like, do you get any feedback from fans at all, and what they like, what they dislike, and
yeah we do. I'm constantly searching and trying not to get stuck in the same formats too much, because eventually people get bored of it. So yeah, I constantly try, and I've got a kind of little kind of board of people who are not shy in telling you what they think, and others who maybe need you to go to them. But I've got a kind of broad range of people that have kind of different backgrounds that I try and take their counsel on as much as I can, and I try and mix it up as much as I can as well. Sometimes to lie in with their skills, where they'll naturally be quite aware of these things, and others I'll try and mix it up again to get a fresh pair of eyes and a completely different perspective on it, because I try and monitor where I can. I try and take a little bit of time out in my week, usually kind of early in the morning, to monitor and see what people are saying in the forums, what they're saying directly to us, and try and take as much of that on board as we can.
I know, working with the national team, when players see me, they just know that they're going to be asked to do something, and you get some players that are more up for doing things, Stephen O'Donnell being one a lot of the time. How do you find it working with players? Obviously, you're working with them on a daily basis, nearly, getting buy-in from them and the staff, such as the manager as well.
Yeah, I think I feel pretty blessed that we've got a fantastic group of guys who are only too happy, usually, to do it. I never have to chase people around the dressing room to do press. I've only ever once had someone refuse to do press. That's not the reason that they're no longer at the club, but they are no longer at the club. They're actually really good. I don't know if it's a generalisation, but I think, especially amongst the younger players, I tend to find that because they've grown up, especially with the social media generation, that they are only too happy, and they understand it's all they've known, and that the game and the media saturation part of it is how it is. So, but we're also, as well as the really good young players, we're blessed with a good core of experienced pros who have had a strong grounding at you know, bigger clubs who have been through maybe the machine part of it and actually find that now it's actually less of a chore and it's more of a, they're wiser and more mature and have things to say and are more than comfortable with how they say it.
Do you think they see it as a benefit for them to get across kind of their personalities as well?
Absolutely. I think we did Sky Sports Top Bin Challenge, which was shown over Christmas Day, and Chris Boyd, who obviously has his SPFL Matters show, asked for people. And at first, I don't think they kind of, once he explained the concept of it, they understood that, you know, what, this is actually a really good chance to boost your own profile. And that's not the primary motivation. They wanted to help Chris out as well, and obviously they wanted the competitive element of trying to outdo each other. But when they sat back and thought about it, those that took part actually understood that, you know what, this could expose me to like a national audience who normally wouldn't care about Scottish football or this particular team, but if it's something quite sizable, you know, small and shareable like that, you know what, that could actually do me good, especially if I actually get it in the top bin. They'll maybe remember me if they see that my name come up in Soccer Saturday and things, so that it can be little things like that that will get them to take part.
What do you think makes good club content?
It's good club content. I tend to go by something that's either different, definitive, or just entertaining. Those are the kind of three big pillars that I try and make everything that we do, whether it's video or written content. Definitive in terms of no one should really know our club better than we know ourselves. So if you want to know how many points we took in 2018, we needed to be the first people. So I think, I remember after the St Man game, it's like, get that out. Make sure that everyone knows we took this many points in 2018. And I think towards the end of last season, when we set a club record point total, I did the season in numbers because I wanted to break down the different elements, just mainly because the club historian was like, you don't understand how good this is. It's not been like this on a consistent basis since the 60s. So that, entertaining, just because if something's not entertaining, what's the point in making it or doing it? It's fun. It's football. Yeah. You're getting paid to work in football, so there's that. And different, it doesn't always need to be different. You're never going to get everything. Does anything that we need to do always be different. But if it can sometimes be different, and maybe the Battle of the Bards would be maybe one of the first things I would come to in terms of examples of that. Because there's lots of sports clubs about, so what makes ours special, or what makes something that you can hook on to? So those are the kind of three pillars that I tend to think usually make good club content.
It's funny you say that. It sounds quite similar to when I started at the Scottish FA, and we're trying to put in my own style and get things taken a different direction. And I was three, well, pillars similar was educational, either be educational, entertaining, or informative. And I suppose you could argue informative and educational, but how we differed them, there was differences there. But it was, if you're creating something that doesn't fall within at least one of those three, then you're not, why are we creating it, sort of thing. So yeah, it's obviously things change and adapt, but if you have sort of your own sort of guiding principles, it kind of helps when you're coming to the planning stage and your objectives, so of what you're trying to do, it'll help shape and shift that content.
I will give a hat tip to Matt Roper and the chance that he is listening to this, because he kind of said, like, set your parameters, and he set a couple of those and said, you know, if you're not hitting those, why are we doing it? Why are we spending the time putting the resource towards it if it's not one of those things? Because then there's just no point.
Would you say kind of most proud of so far, and maybe the most recent 150th video?
I am proud of that. Yeah, I am proud of that. In terms of, I was proud of our season ticket campaign in the summer. I was really proud of that. So on top of, we worked with Seesaw for the digital elements, and we chipped in with local businesses who put money in to get 28, I think, banners made. That were some were lamp, most were lamppost banners, and there was a long banner that kind of went along the high street in Kilmarnock. So basically, wherever you came and drove around Kilmarnock, there was something that told you this is there's a team here and you should check them out. So the tagline for that was "Together We Are Stronger," and that was just kind of building back into, as I say, what I was saying about everyone kind of clubbing together and understanding that there's something to be really proud of in this town. We're lucky that we are a one-team town as well, so it was trying to take advantage of that, and that's the mantra, "Together We Are Stronger," that the manager always uses at the end of his programme notes. So it was, one of many things that he seems to have created is a sense of real unity and purpose around the club, that if we do all chip in together, we're better for it. And he's done that not only with the footballing staff, I think, but the off-field staff as well. So I was really proud of that campaign. I think we saw a 14% rise in season tickets this year. So I was always hoping for a rise given how well we've done, but you can never be too sure just exactly how it's going to go. So I'm really proud of that, because then ultimately that's tangibly more people watching the football team, and then that falls back to the first goal of making people care about it. So yeah, that's one thing I'm really proud of. I was really proud of the kind of summer content in La Manga. I think player cam worked really, really well. It was something that I didn't really see too many people kind of replicating. We did kind of Boydie's banter and a few other, that was a real kind of experimental phase, and I was really proud of how that did. Chris did a fantastic job out in Spain. So no, those are the kind of three main things, I think.
Do you have any, well, I'm sure you do, what clubs, sports, organisations, etc., would you say are doing some great stuff that you look for and go, oh, that's pretty cool, I get inspired by that sort of content?
I'm going to make Grant Russell buy me an R pint for giving him an R mention here, but obviously Grant and his team at Motherwell, I think, in a Scottish sense, are really doing some great stuff. They've got such a kind of really well balanced team that all bring different things to the table. So I really like their story of the match thing. I think that's a really great concept. I think it brings something really cinematic to the Scottish game. I really enjoyed it. We beat them quite a lot when so it's really nice to watch back, but he's due to beat us one time. So I really like that stuff. I'm trying to think what else. I think Hibs signing announcements in January, they're quite simple. It's quite simple, and I don't mean that. I mean that in a very positive way. I think it's just quite nicely done. I just think it actually works really quite well. I think the breadth of Rangers content on YouTube is quite something.
A lot of good work
going on there. I lost count of the amount of stuff they did when they went away. So yeah, I really think that's quite good. So there's a lot of good stuff. I think it's such a good time actually for Scottish football. In terms of some of the teams are really kind of knocking out of the park.
And then obviously taking that and being a good time, any advice for some smaller clubs that are maybe looking to create some content?
I think advice for small clubs is really, really think about what is it that makes your club, and how do people feel and react about your club, and find a way to tap into that. Find a way to tap into why people care so much about the team, and see what opportunities that presents to you, because there's 42 league clubs, and each has something. You know, I've tried to follow as much as I can. I can't say I've watched them all, but the Ladbrokes Lad 42 series, and that's kind of tried to bring a lot of that essence out. But the ones that I have watched, there's always something that you go, ah, that's them, that's their thing. So One of the first things I would say is, because that will give you the kind of sense of self that you need, and you can obviously stretch it out and make it much broader than one single thing, but that'll help kind of show you what direction you want to take the club and take your content that way. So I would say that would be one of the first things that I would ever think about.
I think that echoes a little bit. Mark Bradley talked about that when we did the Fan Experience
Definitely,
podcast.
Yeah.
Because one of the first things you need to do is have a club identity, identify what you want to be as a club, and then
just shapes everything.
Everything will come off of that as a starting point. So yeah, definitely, I think it's a sound advice.
Definitely, yeah. So, us, anything else to add?
No, I think definitely a lot of sort of good work. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, Scott, but seen a lot of good stuff come out of Kilmarnock, especially in the last year or so. And yeah, results on the pitch definitely help matters, but there's a lot more to it than just the results on the pitch. And you can see as an outsider looking in at Kilmarnock that there is a lot more bond between fans and club, and building those bridges. And obviously it's not easy, and there's a lot of graft and hard work needs to go on behind the scenes to make that happen. So yeah, no, it's great, and I think it's been a great start for the second lot a podcast to look at in-house content, and because you're seeing it across all leagues and we've touched on it before with guys like East Fife and Forfar having their YouTube channels that they're trying to do a lot more with. I know at a Highland League and Lowland League level, you've got some guys churning out some great written content, and a lot of volunteers doing that. So yeah, there's different types of content happening everywhere, and it's not just within the sort of pyramid structure, if you like. I know some of the amateurs and the junior teams as well are churning out some great stuff as well. So hopefully there was a few things there that people again can take away, and even if it's just one or two little bits of things that they'll go, oh, maybe go and try or think about that, hopefully it'll be of benefit.
Definitely, yeah, and I think it would have made a good Netflix documentary just if you'd come in and then following Steve Clark around.
I'm sure he would have loved that, yes.
Michael, we going to finish up with the usual, just plug in a few things that we've seen.
Yeah, obviously it's been a couple of months since we previously recorded a podcast, so there's quite a lot that's happened, but I've got two that I actually called out on my Twitter as well. One was the partnership between Football Stadium Prince and the Lowland League, and now we spoke to Michael Park about a lot of what he's been doing with the Lone League and the design wise, but now using a partnership to create these graphics for match day cards on Twitter and bringing it all to life. And funny, I was having this conversation with a couple of people in the last week about identity of leagues, especially at a lower level, and I know there's potentially some stuff happening with the juniors, and you've got the Highland League, but the Lone League seem to be really like stretching away at the moment in time in terms of brand identity and an online social presence. So it was great to see that. The other one wasn't football related, but the guys at Glasgow Tigers Speedway was another one that I highlighted a couple of times actually on Twitter, as they had a, which I didn't actually know was a thing, but a Speedway replica kit, and they did a launch video. And again, for I can imagine the guys at Glasgow Tigers don't have a massive budget, but again, working with the right people, they managed to create a great launch video that taps into the essence of where they belong, Glasgow, but also very good production quality as well. So yeah, two things there over the festive period I thought were very good.
No, definitely. I think the Speedway guys, I need to get over to them. I think they've been trying to get me to go along and watch, so yeah, I need to go and do that. I've got a couple as well. First one is just a kind of like email newsletter that you can sign up for. It's Front Office Sport. I think it's a kind of more American based website, but obviously if you sign up for that newsletter, there's so many stories on all, I think, pretty much a daily basis from obviously across the pond, and that's where kind of most ideas kind of originate a lot of the time for sports marketing content. So sign up for that. And then one thing I've spotted over the last couple of weeks, I've only just started to follow them on Instagram, and it's Hearts, actually. They've been doing a lot of stuff on Instagram stories around Scottish Cup weekend, obviously, which is we're recording before that, and kind of obviously looking back at old matches, some classics in there with some footage involved as well, which I think has been really good to follow along with.
Yeah, just on that, Front Office Sports, I think they put something out. I follow them on Twitter, and they've got some great stuff, and I've inspired a couple ideas in here. One was recently around a sponsor-led content or a brand-led content around doing kicks in their brewery to win a year supply of beer and stuff like that. Definitely worth a follow or sign up for the email.
Perfect, yeah. Scott, thanks very much again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you again next time.